you have any friends or acquaintances or anybody you know, or you get around them and it's just a lot of talk about money. Maybe they don't have enough and they're always wanting more, or maybe they're just always talking about the new brands that they have or the vacations that they went on or name dropping the people that they were around, or the parties that they attend. You know anybody, are you like that at all? Paul wants to talk a little bit about that today.
Yeah, it's good.
1 Timothy chapter 6.
You're listening to Between the Lines. I'm Scott.
I'm Junior.
And I'll go ahead and start reading in verse 1. Let me see. We got how many verses here today? We got, this takes us 21. To the end of the chapter. So 21 verses.
Does take us to the end of the chapter. So, as it does every day.
To the end of the book. Day. Yeah. Every day. All right. So 1 Timothy 6, beginning in verse 1. All slaves should show full respect for their masters, so they will not bring shame on the name of God in his teaching. And you might be wanting to work a job and you think, man, they just treat us like slaves. Well, here he still says, show full respect for your master, even though they may not be the best master. Peter actually says, you know, if you're only being good to those masters who are good to you, well, then you're not really showing anything special. Christians ought to be different, and we ought to show respect and goodness to even those people who aren't necessarily the best of bosses. Sure. Verse 2, if the masters are believers, that is no excuse for being disrespectful. Those slaves should work all the harder because their efforts are helping other believers who are well-loved. Teach these things, Timothy, and encourage everyone to obey them. Some people may contradict our teaching, but these are the wholesome teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. These teachings promote a godly life. Anyone who teaches something different is arrogant and lacks understanding. Well, why? Because they're teaching contrary to Jesus' teaching. Such a person has an unhealthy desire to quibble over the meaning of words. This stirs up arguments, ending in jealousy, division, slander, and evil suspicions.
We do see that.
Oh, man, like crazy. Yeah, the world is very divided, isn't it?
Yeah, and even sometimes in the church, you know, the quibble over the meaning of words, and we sometimes we just get like this hyper-focus and want to be known as being so knowledgeable, and it does it. It ends in jealousy, division, slander.
And that actually usually
comes
out.
Evil suspicions.
Yeah, it usually comes out of the result of not being focused on those things that matter most.
Yeah.
These people always cause trouble. Their minds are corrupt, and they have turned their backs to the truth. To them, a show of godliness is just a way to become wealthy. Just a way to become wealthy. Interesting. Hmm. How is it that the show of godliness is just a way to become wealthy?
They're using the church for their own ends.
Yeah, it could be even for their businesses, thinking as the church was growing, and it was growing rapidly then.
Yep.
And in Ephesus, we know, which was a wealthy community, and the church grew rapidly in Ephesus, that the idea could have been gaining more of a
network.
Clientele.
Yeah.
Yep. Yet true godliness with contentment is itself great wealth. That is, that contentment, both godliness and contentment, you put those together, that is great wealth, is what he is saying. You know, it's interesting, Junior, because I've known wealthy people and I've known poor people. I've actually found, I don't know why this is, because I think we think that the love of money is a problem with those who are wealthy. But in my experience, the people that I've known who tend to be hyper-focused more on money were people that had less.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not always just the wealthy that are hyper-focused on wealth.
Yeah.
That sometimes, now it is the case sometimes, some people are hyper-focused on wanting to gain wealth and build up their net worth, but some are just really focused and passionate about whatever business that they have and using the skills God's given them. And the fallout of that was material blessing that come automatically as a result of hard work.
Yeah. Well, I know it's one of your pet peeves and people kind of hint about how they need money, you know, and I think it's everybody's pet peeve, but isn't like the middle class, like the most generous? I got to look that up again.
Yeah.
As far as percentage wise,
actually,
I'm talking about dollar amounts.
As far as percentages, poor people are more generous.
They are
the most generous. Yeah. I mean, there are other demographics, you know, even when it comes to political views, that it's kind of funny because conservatives are far more generous than people that are more on the left.
Yeah.
And I think some of that has to do with their view of where the state fits in and, you know, who should be taken care of.
Sometimes the left thinks that let's be generous through the government.
Right. So anyway, so he says, godliness with contentment. That's really what it has to come down to. So we have to be content with what we have. And that kind of contentment and godliness is going to naturally lead to a generosity.
Yeah.
After all, we brought nothing with us when we came into the world, and we can't take anything with us when we leave it. So if we have food and clothing, let us be content. Why don't you pick it up from there?
But people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people, craving money, have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows.
Now, the key there is they long to be rich.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of proverbs. There's a lot in Proverbs actually about those who are looking to get rich quick. Yeah. That, you know, whether it's one of these supposed home businesses that are really pyramid schemes that are, you're promised all this wealth that's going to come if you just, you know, make those phone calls. Well, I'm just saying that those get rich quick schemes that they always fail.
Yeah,
and they wind up spending more money on trying to get the business going than they do actually
ruin relationships.
And you hurt all kinds of relationships.
But there is a difference between being wise. And so like for me personally, it's like, mm-hmm. I would like to have a good retirement set aside so that when I'm a grandpa, I can travel around comfortably and be totally fine. So in that sense, I want to save more, but it's mm-hmm. not this longing and craving to be rich.
Well, and the key there is to not try to do it rapidly. Instead, that in your youth, which you're still pretty young, I mean, I wish I would have been faithful in putting money away when I was your age, but that is the key, because that's when interest starts really picking up. That if you're faithful in putting money away on a monthly basis right now when you're young, then and Proverbs talks about that. Those who do this slowly, that it becomes a solid foundation for your later years.
Yeah. But you, Timothy, are a man of God, so run from all these evils, pursue righteousness and a godly life, along with faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight for the true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life which God has called you, which you have declared so well before many witnesses. And I charge you before God, who gives life to all, and before Jesus Christ, who gave a good testimony before Pontius Pilate, that you obey this command without wavering, and no one can find fault with you from now until your Lord Jesus comes again. For at just the right time, Christ will be revealed from heaven by the blessed and only Almighty God, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He alone can never die, and he lives in light so brilliant that no human can approach him. No human eye has ever seen him, nor ever will. All honor and power to him forever. Amen.
Well, I mean, Paul, we had a way with words. He was really quite a linguist.
Teach those who are rich in this world to not be proud and not to trust their money, which is so unreliable. Our trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous with those in need. Always be ready to share with others. By doing this, they'll be storing up their treasures as a good foundation for the future so that they may experience true life.
Yeah, even though we often say, I mean, of course, you can't buy heaven, but Paul indicates that you can send up a retirement into heaven by being generous in this life.
Timothy, guard what God has entrusted to you. I think can mean something, like it could mean the church, it could mean opportunity, it could mean leadership.
Yeah, I think the leadership that he's been given,
Avoid godless, foolish discussions with those who oppose you, with their so-called knowledge. I love that too. It's like,
so-called
you don't have
knowledge.
So-called knowledge. You don't have to attend every fight you're invited to.
Right.
Sometimes you're just like, I'm not even going to go there. I don't care. Verse 21, some people have wandered from the faith by following such foolishness. May God's grace be with you all.
All right, well, let's get over to Proverbs. And so when we get to Proverbs, we're in Proverbs 24, because today is the 24th.
That's right.
And we have in verse 10, it says, if you fail under pressure, or I think it's in the Old King James, it says in the day of trouble. If you fail in the day of trouble, when things are falling apart, when you're at your worst, your strength is not very great, or your strength is small, is I think the literal reading of that. Your strength is small. So your strength isn't measured by you at your best. Your strength is measured by how you handle the most difficult situations when you're at your worst. The question isn't how high are your mountaintops. The question is how high are your valleys? Mm-hmm. You want a good life, bring your valleys up.
Mm-hmm. Rather, in what you can control.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. How you respond in those very difficult situations.
Yeah. Yep.
That's what Proverbs is saying here. Don't fail when you're under great pressure or when you're in your day of trouble. That's when you need to be most focused on staying faithful and doing the right thing and being good to others.
All right. Well, April 24th celebrates National Bucket List Day. You have a bucket list?
That's kind of funny. National bucket list day, like National Death Day, almost like these things.
So like, you know, you got to like set goals to knock off.
How do you celebrate that though?
You just revisit like, hey, have I made plans to do this? Because that's on my bucket list.
Yeah. I don't. Plans. I've never had a bucket list.
You don't have a bucket list?
Nah. You know, I mean, there's things I want to do.
Yeah, that'd be
I don't
a bucket
care
list.
If I don't get it done before I die, I figure, you know.
Well, things you want to do before you kick the bucket. Like, what would one of those things be?
If I can't do it now, I'll do it in heaven.
Oh, I got a bucket list, Dad.
How many are on it? How many things do you have on your
like
bucket list?
Probably like four or five. One of them is I want to sail around South America.
Wow.
Because that's, you ever see the sparrow tattoos on guys? Yeah, like a sparrow? I have it on my motorcycle helmet. No, it's like a sparrow. That means people get them and doesn't like the original meaning of that tattoo means you sailed around South Africa. So I think that'd be kind of cool to get a sparrow because they did that. The other thing I want to do is I want to bike from Northern Israel to Egypt. And I'm going to try to do that.
I would enjoy
year.
That. Yeah, I would enjoy that very much.
I'm going to try to do that this year, but
this
the war,
year
the war might throw it off. So
yeah,
we'll see.
Well, we had planned on, we had hoped to do some motorcycling around Israel.
I was thinking bicycle.
One time, but you're talking, I know, you're talking bicycling.
Yeah, motorcycle would be cool. Right. But bicycle, you can actually go on the roads where Jesus walked.
Yeah.
Almost
the
whole time.
I can see that, especially if you got a fat tire bike like you have. So.
All right, well, go knock off some things on your bucket list. Or make plans to.
Yeah, my only bucket list was learning to fly.
Oh.
So I guess I'm ready to go.
You're going to have to make some more things for your bucket list. All right, have a good day.
God
make
bless.
It a good day. See you tomorrow.